Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come hungry for the presence of God. May we be filled during our time together. And welcome to worship at West End on this Transfiguration Sunday. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending. Welcome. Those who are here week in and week out, we'll seek out folks we don't know and extend our own personal welcome and our wish that you will make a home here with us. Now, an important way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of opportunities in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up just a few. As we begin to prepare for our Lenten observance, our Jazz Mass will be this coming Tuesday, February 9th at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. Just prior to that, at 5 p.m., there will be a pancake supper. Tickets are available in Reed Hall if you'd like to buy your tickets ahead of time. This is always a wonderful experience. It is a joyous time and really puts into perspective the solemnity of the services of the next day, Ash Wednesday. Our services on Ash Wednesday, February 10th, will be at noon and 5:30 p.m. So for me at least, the contrast between the joyous Jazz Mass and the quiet solemnity of the Ash Wednesday services really gets let off on the right note. So I hope you'll be able to join for all of those. There will be no Wednesday evening dinner on Ash Wednesday, observing that particular holiday. On Thursday, our Lenten concert series will begin. The concert is at noon. Call the church to make a reservation if you want the lunch. The lunch will begin about 12:30, and there will be concerts every Thursday during Lent here in the sanctuary. I hope you'll be able to join us for those as well. As for Lenten studies, there is a table in Reed Hall. You can check out the variety of Lenten studies that are available to you during this holy period, this holy time. And also during this time, our youth are getting ready to participate in the 30-hour famine. There is a bulletin insert where you can read more details about that. One difference this year is that you can designate your offering. It would be going to two different groups, either to World Vision or the Nashville Food Project. If you'd like to designate your offering, just put that on the check or on the envelope if you make a cash offering, that you would like for it to go to World Vision or the Nashville Food Project. Those that are not designated will be divided equally between the two. You can read more about that. I will also say that our communion offering today will go to support the 30-hour famine, and you can make those same designations when you leave your gift in the plates next to the front pew. Did you ever have a really high moment in your life and you just wanted to stay there? You just wanted to cling to it? You never wanted to leave it? But of course, you did, because you had to. I'm here to tell you that's a good thing.
And Lord. sovereign. Let the people tremble in awe.
God is enthroned upon his cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion and is high above all peoples. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And now a reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The word of God for the people of God.
This year, Margaret and I have the privilege of celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. That'll come up in May, and because of that, I've been remembering those times, the preparation we made for that particular service, the service that was held in First United Methodist Church, Columbia, Tennessee, which was her home church. Folks with connections to West End were all about at that point. Diane Blum was one of the celebrants of the service. Jenny Lou Smith was one of the musicians at that service. And it was a grand celebration. We had friends who served Holy Communion. We served Holy Communion. Afterwards, we gathered to visit with friends. And Margaret's mom gave us as a wedding present a night at Lowe's Vanderbilt as we prepared to fly out to go to San Francisco. My work at the time required me to travel a lot, so I'd saved up a lot of miles, and we were going to take our honeymoon in San Francisco. Now, if you ask Margaret what we did on our honeymoon, she will probably tell you that I showed her a bunch of universities and libraries, which is only part of the story. That part is accurate, but we did some other things too. But we had a great time. It was this wonderful celebration, a wonderful, glorious time. And then, of course, we had to come back. She went back to graduate school at Skerritt. I went back to my work, and we entered into the ordinariness of life. And over the past 30 years, knowing we couldn't stay in that 1 week of celebration as much as we would love to have, we have experienced the ups and downs of any marriages, the joys and the struggles of any long-term relationship. And I have to say, we are so much better off now having made that pilgrimage together than if we had tried to hang on to the delights of that 1 week. You know, whenever you have a high moment, whenever you have an intense and wonderful experience, it might be a graduation, it might be a certain vacation, it might be a sabbatical, it might be a particular visit with someone of importance, it might be a particular job, whatever it is that we feel is that high moment in our life where we've experienced a kind of ecstasy, we like to hang on to it. We'd love it to just last, and yet we all know that it doesn't. And so the question is, what do we do when we come down from the mountain? That's what Jesus' disciples faced in the text you heard today. They went with Jesus to the mountain and they saw the light of God shining in and through him. He was transfigured. They saw him not simply as that human rabbi that they had been following, but as a particular vehicle of the loving light of God. They were stunned by it. They saw him in his appropriate company with Moses and Elijah, and of course their first response was, "Let's stay. This is a whole lot better than what we've been going through down in the valley. Let's build some booths here for Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and let's just hang on to this moment." But of course they can't. They have to come back down. And when they come back down, they're immediately plunged into the suffering of the world. A parent who wants their child healed. Jesus is plunged immediately back into the needs of the world, the struggles and the suffering. And of course, he responds. You know, some of us from this congregation went on a literal pilgrimage recently to the Holy Land. And in talking with folks who went there, there were different moments that stood out for them. I talked with Nancy ahead of time and asked her, what kind of stamps can we get in our church passports? She said, well, just by going, you get a learning stamp. But if you have that encounter of the presence of God at some point on the journey, you feel that God is present for you, you are present for God, you can also get a being stamp. Everybody I talked to on the trip had some moment or other where they experienced that presence. Now, they were in different places. For one, it might have been at the Jordan River. For another, it might have been on the Sea of Galilee. For one, it might have been on the Mount of the Beatitudes. On another, it might have been at one of the dueling tomb sites of Jesus, either the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or the Garden Tomb. But wherever it happened, there was that sense of presence, that sense of holiness. I remember the very first time I went to the Holy Land, I was not particularly interested in going. This was 1984. My district superintendent said, "It'll do wonders for your telling of Bible stories." So I went. And I remember coming down from Tiberias, and we arrived in Jerusalem right at sunset. And the sun was at our back, and we were looking at the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque sitting on the Temple Mount and the buildings around it. And suddenly I got a sense of why three major religions consider this a holy place. It wasn't a rational thing. It was a sense of presence. Now, it's tempting to want to stay there, and quite frankly, some of us almost got to stay because of all the snarled connections back home. We didn't know if we were going to get back or not. And when we did get back home, we brought all those stories and all those memories, and we brought, you know, olive wood and scarves, and a few of us brought back bugs that we didn't intend to bring home at all. But we had to come back home. And we'll tell those stories about what we experienced, and we'll remember those times of what we experienced, but we'll do it within the flow of ordinary life here. Because you see, that's the way it is with pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is not just a journey from high point to high point to high point to high point. The journey of pilgrimage takes us through the valleys as well as the mountaintops. And that's how we mature. And the pilgrimage doesn't end. It takes us back into our ordinary lives, and it carries us through our ordinary lives. And we as Christians believe that that pilgrimage doesn't even end with death. But that once we are no longer encumbered by this body, that pilgrimage continues. Because we are not just on a journey to God, we are on a journey in God. And that journey continues. And death cannot even stop that journey. If you want a simple image of what this pilgrimage is about, you'll get one in just a few minutes. Because you see, we're going to bring bread to the table, and we're going to bring juice to the table, and we're going to be bold and presumptuous enough to say that the breaking of this bread means that Christ is present with us in some way we do not understand and cannot fully explain. But we do it here, and it's a high moment. But it's a reminder that every time we break bread out there, Christ is present with us. We'll share the cup and we will talk about Christ's presence in the cup. But that's a reminder that every time we share the cup, whether that's juice or coffee or water, Christ is present with us on the pilgrimage. These high moments when we experience the presence of God profoundly are reminders that God is present with us at all the other ordinary times. And we take the most ordinary elements of life, bread and juice, and say that these tell us of the love and presence of God. You see, it wasn't just Jesus who was to be transfigured that day. It was his disciples as well. While the light of God's love shone through him, his disciples were supposed to reflect that love. Isn't that what we say we do here? To reflect the loving light of Christ? Isn't that our particular calling here? And we don't just do it on the mountaintop. We do it in the everydayness of our lives, in the simplicity of breaking a bread, sharing a meal, passing a cup, sharing a word, a story. And it happens in the joyous times, and it happens in the sad times. It happens during our times of celebration, and it happens during our times of grief. That voice that came from the cloud said, "This is my beloved, listen to him." And that's why we come together here, to listen to him and what he has to teach. To share in this meal that he hosts. I don't host it. He hosts it. To share the most ordinary things of life so that we can go out into the world on our pilgrimage that never ends and grow and mature in our relationship to God, in our relationship to Christ, in our relationship to one another. So pilgrimage is not just something that we'll do this year and you can check it off your list. Okay, pilgrimage, done that. No. It will last as long as you live and beyond this life. Because it is not simply a pilgrimage to God. It is a pilgrimage in God. And knowing that God's love is our home in this world and the next, now and forever, means that that pilgrimage will never end. Thanks be to God. We have many witnesses that speak to us from Scripture and from tradition, and we are calling on one of the ancient traditions today to help us tell our story. I invite you to stand. as you're able, turn to 881 in your hymnal, and let's tell our story, borrowing words from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right, my left, following the worship service today. First-time guests who are worshiping with us are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. If you're a college student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and a time for fellowship and faith discussions. They will gather in Reed Hall after the late service. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. On one side of the card, it may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card with your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate prayer request. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down your pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down your pew, please take note of those who are worshiping around you and greet one another, especially those you may not know at the end of the service. The rose on the altar today is in celebration of the birth of John Edward Jack Pollard, who was born December 3rd, to Lauren and James Pollard, and he is also welcomed by his big sister Vivian Pollard, grandfather Tom Trent, and his aunt, uncle and aunt Alex and Valerie Trent. And we extend sympathy to Lee and Cliff Elledge, and the loss of their son, Robert Harris Elledge, who died Thursday, February 4th. We're still waiting on information about the service. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, everlasting, almighty God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy holy name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by the one offering of himself a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble service, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. Come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to receive, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. Once you have received both elements, you're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you choose. And then when you return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, simply catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers. We'll be glad to serve you there. We do take an offering at each of our communion services. I mentioned during the announcements that this offering this month will go to support our youth and the 30-hour famine. You can designate your gift either to World Vision or to the Nashville Food Project, or if you simply give an undesignated gift, it'll be divided equally between the two. There are plates next to the front pew so that if you choose to support that ministry today, you're welcome to leave your offering there as you come to communion. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you stand and join me in the prayer of thanksgiving? The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, from thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us. Thy bounty has sustained us. Thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us our love and serve thee, and enable us to show our all the goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You may have noted in your bulletin that the flowers today are in memory of the Reverend Dr. Bill Likens. And Martha has asked that at the end of this service, any of you who would care to come and take one of the flowers with you for yourself or for someone else, you are welcome to do so. And now go forth as pilgrims to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.